This morning's reading is from the book of Genesis. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, "I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them." But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So if Noah lived on your street today, none of us would likely admire him. We'd probably avoid him, and you'd whisper about the guy in the cul-de-sac building the big cruise ship in his backyard. And you'd say he's lost it, because sometimes it's the most obedient people that look the most insane, especially when God tells them to do something that no one else understands. And we love the end of Noah's story. We celebrate the rainbow, but do we ever really stop and think about how we would have responded if only we saw the beginning? So before we unpack the full story of Noah, let's be honest with ourselves and just play a little game. So imagine this. If someone in your neighborhood is in fact building a cruise ship down the street, and they tell you God told me to, so I've got some options. Are you going to A, help them build it? Are you gonna B, call the news? C, post it on Facebook or Instagram with the caption, "Y'all, my neighborhood is not okay." D, laugh and walk away. Or E, report him to the HOA. So let's see a show of hands. I'm gonna go through these just one more time, and let's see a show of hands. So who's gonna help your neighbor build this cruise ship in their backyard? Got one, two. Who's calling the news? Who are our news callers? No one? Okay. Who's posting on social media? Yeah, we got a good amount. Nextdoor, we're all on Nextdoor. We like the Nextdoor app. Who's gonna laugh and walk away? And I probably would. For being honest. And now, who's our HOA people? Yeah, I see you out there. So, you know, we gotta think. Noah was doing this, and everyone was laughing at him. But in this series, Influencers, we're not talking about the people who went viral, we're talking about the people who were faithful, even when no one else was. And there's few better people that fit that than Noah. So, the definition of influencer we've been using throughout this series is an individual who has the power to affect purchase decisions because of their authority, knowledge, or relationship with their audience. And that's what influence looks like today. But here's the catch. It's my generation, it's Gen Z, those born between 1997 and 2012, that are the most impacted by modern day influencers. And why? It's because we like attention. And we crave it. And if we're honest, social media has made it easier than ever to chase it. So with one video, one viral aesthetic post, you can go from nobody to somebody in just a matter of hours. And likes and shares and comments, you know, they're not just numbers. For many of us, they've become validation, they've become proof that we matter, proof that we're seen. However, one of the most eye-opening statistics that I found was that according to a CNBC study, 57% of Gen Z said that they want to become influencers themselves. And so that brings the real question though. What influence what? To buy a product, to attend a concert, to travel to an overhyped destination, or to do something that actually makes a true difference, like serving others or spreading God's love. Because when we scroll through social media, it's often reduced to trends, glamorized day in the life videos. But in the Bible, influence wasn't about image, it was about impact. So let's zoom out for just a second and understand where Noah fits into all of this. So Noah is one of those biblical figures we learn about as children. I mean, Noah's Ark is one of the most popular Bible stories. And as someone with a love for children's ministry, I'm going to tell y'all the Sunday school version of Noah's story. So a long time ago, the world was full of people making very bad choices, and God was very sad. But one man named Noah tried to do what was right. God told Noah to go and build an ark because a great flood was coming. Noah obeyed, even when others laughed at him. He brought his family and two of every kind of animal onto the ark, and then it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but everyone on the ark ended up being safe. And after the flood, God put a rainbow into the sky as a promise that he would never flood the entire earth again. But what we really don't learn about, especially as children, is that in the biblical timeline, the great flood is said to have occurred about 1,656 years after the creation of Adam. And in those years, the world was so unimaginably evil. And we're not talking about a few bad apples or little isolated incidents of rebellion. We are talking about a global unraveling of morality and humanity in relationships with God. And in these early chapters of Genesis, we see the human condition on full display, the gift of free will and the devastating power of our choices. Humanity was given the ability to love one another or to destroy one another, and yet, time after time, they chose destruction. Cain murders his own brother Abel out of jealousy and shows no remorse. In Genesis 6:2, the sons of God would take any woman they want, twisting the idea of marriage into the system of domination and unfaithfulness. By Noah's time, scripture says, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. This wasn't a culture that didn't have direction. This was a world that had no covenant. There was no Ten Commandments, no prophets, and there was no Jesus. They didn't have the church. They didn't even have the hope that Jesus was even coming. All they had was the instinct to sin and the silence of a God who was watching his creation fall apart. And when God looked at what humanity had become and the choices they kept making towards one another, his heart broke. I mean, after all, when my parents ask something of me and I don't end up doing it, they get upset. And we see God as a father figure. Disobeying him is not a small thing. It's not breaking a rule. It's breaking his heart. And it's choosing our own way over the way of the one who created us, the one who loves us and knows what's best for us. Just like any loving parent, God isn't disappointed because he's controlling. He's disappointed because he cares, and he knows where disobedience leads, and it's never where we truly want to go. The wickedness of the world even continued after this flood, eventually leading to the Tower of Babel, where people united not to worship God, but to make a name for themselves. Humanity was choosing pride over presence and control over covenant. And this is the darkness that Noah walked through. This is the darkness Noah lived in. And this is what makes his obedience so influential, because he was faithful even when the world had forgotten who God even was. So even today, I find myself getting overwhelmed with the evil in the world. The world can be scary. Violence and war, especially in the Middle East, are actively causing chaos and heartache. Even headlines here in America are filled with stories of injustice and corruption and suffering, innocent lives lost, families torn apart, and children growing up in fear. And on top of that, there's still growing uncertainty for many as recent decisions ripple through our communities, impacting everyday people in ways that we're still trying to understand. Let's be honest, most of us know someone whose life has been touched by this uncertainty and this heartbreak. And beyond what we see on the news, there's also this quiet evil. It's the hate we harbor, it's the selfishness that we excuse, it's heartbreak, and it's the pride that we protect in ourselves, and it's really what's happening within us. Yet imagine how much heavier that burden must have been for God in Noah's time, because he wasn't just watching evil unfold. He was watching it unfold in the people he had created, the hearts of the people he created, the people he had formed, the people he had breathed life into, and now every inclination of their hearts was set against him. That's why Genesis 6:6 says, the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. And this wasn't just frustration. This wasn't a snap decision. This was a deep divine heartbreak. God wasn't looking for a reason to punish humanity. He was grieving what had become of them. This was the sorrow of a father who was watching his children choose destruction over a relationship with him. Have you ever loved someone so much that it hurt to watch them make the wrong choices? Have you ever seen someone you care about reject kindness and truth and choose chaos instead? Because that's what God was feeling, and multiply that by all of humanity, and now we understand why God's heart was so heavy. And yet, in that moment of heaviness and sorrow, God still extended grace, and he chose Noah to carry hope forward. Maybe you've been overwhelmed by the state of the world lately. Maybe you even wonder, where is God in all of this? And I find myself wrestling with this question too. But then I remember, even in this dark moment in this story, God didn't look away. He looked closer. And in the middle of that darkness, Scripture says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And this verse really is that turning point in this story. It's the moment when God's heartbreak meets hope. It's the moment when God says, all is not lost. It's a moment when, even in this world of rebellion, he found someone with faith. In a world of evil, Noah found faith. And through faith, God would begin the process of redemption. So the world was walking away from God. Noah chose to walk with him. And he didn't stand out because he had power. He didn't stand out because he had a platform. And he didn't stand out because he was popular. He stood out because he had conviction. And his righteousness and obedience make him an influencer, not in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes. So imagine living in a world where doing the right thing makes you the odd one out. And I can speak from experience, because as someone who brought my so-called Southern charm with me to school in New England, I have lived it. When I hold the door open for someone, or worse, a whole group of people, I met with some confused looks, some people maybe a side eye, or no acknowledgement at all. And when I respond to a professor with yes ma'am or no sir, they're either left in shock or they respond with like, thank you for the respect. And to me, these things are just basic manners. I mean, here where I come from, it's what we do. But up north, I quickly learned people do interact very, very differently. It's just a small example, but it shows how even simple acts of kindness or respect can feel countercultural. And that's the world Noah lived in, times like 1,000, because righteousness was so rare, it stood out. Where doing what was right made you seem ridiculous, yet he still walked with God. So let me ask you, are you trying to fit in a world that's drifting from God? Do you believe that faithfulness, even when it's lonely, is still worth it? Because influence starts with being faithful when everyone else isn't. Later on in Genesis, God gave Noah the assignment to go build the ark. We're not talking a fishing boat. We're not talking about a little rowboat. We're talking about a massive vessel, longer than a football field, enough to carry animals, supplies, Noah's entire family of 8. But here's the catch. There was no flood in sight. It hadn't even rained yet. He was building this thing on dry ground in front of people who thought he completely lost his mind. Can you imagine the conversations? Hey, Noah, why the giant boat? Oh, God told me to. Yeah, Noah, you've been in the sun way too long. I mean, he became a walking punchline. He became this meme before memes even existed. And this wasn't a weekend project either. Some scholars believe this took decades. Some say up to 75 years, showing up day after day, picking up his tools, and building. There were no viral moments. There was no applause. He just had obedience in the face of mockery. I mean, imagine being one of Noah's kids. You wake up and look outside, and your dad's out there again, hammering away at this massive boat on dry land, no rain, no clouds, and just faith. You go into town, and people say, hey, isn't your dad the boat guy? I mean, that's the thing, though. Obedience didn't make Noah popular or his family. It probably made them look ridiculous. But Noah kept going anyways. So how many of us are willing to keep building even when we don't see the results? Because obedience to God doesn't always come with a round of applause. In fact, it might come with rolled eyes. People might not understand why you're spending the time the way that you are, why you're choosing to live differently, why you're refusing to compromise, when it would be just so easy to keep going with the flow. Maybe you're building something in obedience to God right now, choosing integrity when no one's watching, forgiving someone who maybe feel doesn't deserve it, staying rooted in faith while your friends walk away, or giving generously when your budget is thin. And those are your arcs. They won't always make you popular. They won't always make sense, but they will make you obedient. Think of Abraham. Think of Moses. I mean, think of Mary. They all said yes before the outcome was clear, and that's what faith is. So I have to think, what is God calling us to build? What is the thing you are being asked to do day after day, even though no one sees it but him? Are you willing to be misunderstood in order to obey? Are you okay with being faithful even if it looks foolish? Because faith that influences is willing to obey before the outcome is clear. And Genesis 6:7 reveals something sobering, and that was that God was ready to start over. So the Lord said, "I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them." So the world had grown so corrupt, the world had grown so incredibly evil and so violent, so far from the goodness that God intended, that he was just prepared to wipe it clean. He was ready to start over, but even in that heartbreak, God wasn't giving up on redemption. His plan didn't begin with a crowd, it began with Noah. And that's the real question here. Not why did God choose Noah, but if not Noah, then who? Because Noah wasn't the most famous, he wasn't the loudest, but Noah was faithful. And he said yes when no one else would. And that one yes didn't just save Noah either. It saved his family. It saved and preserved the future of humanity. His obedience made room for Abraham, for Moses, for David, and eventually for Jesus. So let's bring that forward. And what's God waiting on us for? What if your obedience is the one that God is waiting on? What if your yes to God is the spark that leads someone else to their faith? What if your faithfulness is the hidden moment that changes someone's eternity? You might never see the full impact of your obedience, but that doesn't mean it's not happening. Noah didn't build the ark because he saw a flood coming. He built it because he trusted God who warned him. Hebrews 11:7 says it this way. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. So Noah's influence didn't end when the floodwaters receded. It echoes throughout all of Scripture, shaping the faith of generations to come. And you see his legacy in early believers, in the writings of the New Testament, and even in us today. His obedience left an effect that stretches thousands and thousands of years beyond his lifetime. And that's just the power of one faithful life surrendered to God. And Noah didn't need Instagram. He didn't have a podcast. He didn't have a following, but his obedience preached louder than 1,000 sermons. He was consistent, he was courageous, and most of all, he was faithful. And Noah's story fits into just about 3 pages of the Bible. And we know the Bible's big, but those 3 pages carry one of the most powerful legacies in history. His story didn't begin in just a peaceful garden. His story didn't begin in a peaceful world. The world was violent and it was broken. Yet Noah still walked with God. And it didn't make sense either, but he trusted God when there was no evidence but his word. And so in the end, after the rain stopped and the waters receded, God made a covenant, a sacred promise that he would never again destroy the earth with a flood. And through the hardship and the ridicule and the waiting, something still good emerged. And that's a fresh start. And the rainbow in the story became a sign not just of survival, but of restoration. And Noah's obedience became the bridge between devastation and a new life. His faith didn't just preserve the past, it helped prepare the future. And thousands of years after Noah, another man would come too, not to build a boat, but to bear a cross. And he too would be mocked, and he too would walk in obedience. And just like Noah, he would offer a way of rescue, not from a flood, but from a flood of sin. And his name is Jesus, and through him we can be saved. And that is where influence begins. Not when people praise you, but when you choose to walk with God while the world is walking away. So are you staying faithful even when it's unpopular? Are you building what God wants you to build, even if others think you're wasting your time? Could it be that you are the one that God wants to use next? You might not feel like an influencer, but Noah probably didn't either. He wasn't trying to go viral. He was just walking with God. And yet that quiet obedience changed history. And just like the other people we've covered in this series, the influence doesn't come from status, it comes from faith. Jabez refused to let the labels placed on him define his future. And Jonah, even in his resistance, still played a part in God's plan. And Pilate's wife had the courage to speak out when everyone else stayed silent, risking ridicule to warn her husband about the innocent man before him. And each of them influenced not through fame, but through faithfulness. And for Noah, walking with God was enough. And maybe for you, it will be too. You don't have to change the world. You just need to obey God where you are. And you might not have a platform. You might not have a pulpit. You might not have a million followers. But if you walk with God when no one else will, your faith might just be the ark that someone needs to get through the storm. Let us pray. God, thank you for speaking to us today through the story of Noah. Thank you for reminding us that influence doesn't come from popularity. It comes from faithfulness. Noah wasn't famous, but he was faithful. And that was enough for you. Lord, when we look around at the world right now, it can feel really overwhelming. There's so much pain, people hurting in ways we can't always see. And even here at home, there's confusion and tension. And for so many of us, we're just trying to make sense of decisions being made that impact our lives every day. So we lift it all up to you. The big stuff, the close to home stuff, the visible and the quiet battles people are facing. And we ask, would you bring peace where there's conflict? Would you bring wisdom where there's chaos? Would you help us not to lose hope when things feel heavy? God, help us follow Noah's example, not chasing attention or applause, but walking with you even when no one else does. Give us the courage to build what you've called us to build, and when it feels slow or pointless or misunderstood, help us to be the kind of people who live out our faith in real, steady ways. At school, at our jobs, in our homes, online, offline, let our lives influence others, not because we're loud, but because we're faithful, because we choose to love when it's hard, to forgive when it hurts, and to trust you even when we can't see the full picture. So use us, God. Use us to bring hope, to bring healing and light in a world that really needs it. Because we love you, we trust you, and we want to walk with you just as Noah did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.